Founding Father and second President John Adams once said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." But today we're awash with irreligion and immorality, partly because of widespread abandonment of Christianity in our culture. Many have become indirectly seeking the divine without knowing it by using drugs. Drugs have become their god, if you will. Meanwhile, our nation's wide-open borders are becoming portals for drugs to pour in, and the results are tragic. Robert Borelli is a former drug-addicted mafia criminal with the Gambino crime family who was converted to Jesus Christ. He's now a pastor and the author of a Christian book called The Witness, a tale of the life and death of a mafia madman, co-written by H. Scott Hunt. And Robert Borelli now joins us on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Robert, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be on your program. I appreciate all that you do through your program, so I'm reaching a lot of people.
Okay,
thank
you. Sure. Well, why don't you go ahead and let's start by having you tell us your own story. I understand you personally were involved in drugs and drug distribution, and tell us how you got converted.
Well, okay. Well, my last time in right. Let me just put it in. January 23rd, 1997, I was arrested. I was strung out on crack cocaine, strutting the hugging the streets I used to strut at one point in time in my mob-style life. Got involved with the drug business probably in the, I say, mid-70s, late 70s to the early 80s. And then got involved with the drug business, got involved with my business, and I lost everything I had. So in 1973, I was wanted for some cases, a Brooklyn case, and then also a case over in Florida. And what happened was got a visit by two angels. They weren't considered my angels at that time, but I consider my angels today because that's the last time I had a drink and a drug, was back in January 23rd, 1997. So what happened is my daughter was born in 93. And thought that was going to change my life, have somebody to love other than myself, and so another responsibility other than just doing whatever I wanted to do. And because we had an argument with her mother, 7 weeks after she was home, I went out to get high one more time. And you know that saying, one is too many, a thousand not enough, has played into my life, where I thought I'd go back home the following day, but I end up getting strung out and staying out, getting high. So back in 97, I was arrested, and my daughter's mom is now allowing me to talk to my daughter, even though she wouldn't allow me to see her when I was out on the streets. Nor did I really make any effort to see her on the streets because I'd rather be getting high. And I think the shame, the guilt, and all that running away from that was just part of my addiction. I didn't want to deal with the shame and guilt that I had to face. People from getting, you know, walking out on my daughter, I should say. So in 97, I'm talking to my daughter, and one time she's crying, and I ask her, her name is Brianna, and I said, "Brianna, why are you crying?" She said, "Because you won't come and visit me." Now, if I could have ran and got high or a drink or a drug or anything like that while I was in Rikers Island, I probably would have did that. But instead, what happened is those words shattered my heart because I knew I was going to be facing a lot of time for the cases that I had pending in my time in Rikers Island, and my heart just shattered. And I knew about God, but I didn't have a relationship with God, so I ran back to my cell. I didn't want the inmates to see me crying, so I ran back to my cell and I said, "God, if you're really to have somebody kill me or change me, I don't want to live like this anymore. God, please help me. God, please help me." And I was pouring out my tears, and I believe God answered the sincerity of my heart. And from that point in time, I was just, I had other books, and I just felt something compelling in me to say, start reading the Bible. And from that point then on, it's really a God story from there on.
And through all this, you were actually a part of one of the major crime families in New York City, correct?
Yes, from 1973 to 1999, I would say, I was part of the Gambino crime family from those points in time. But when the drug got involved, when I got addicted to the drugs, I kind of lost my reputation and my clout with them. So I say from 1973 to 1999, I was either wanted by the law, facing criminal charges, incarcerated, one or the other for all those periods of time. But I would say my involvement with organized crime got when I was a little kid, hanging out with them and then stepping up in the ladder and getting more things because I was just kind of a stand-up guy. So that was my thing with the mob. And then drugs got involved because that was where the big money was. And I started selling drugs. But before you know it, I started doing the drugs. And long story short with that was the drugs started doing me. And I got addicted. So it was cocaine at first. Then it was freebasing back in the late 70s, early 80s. And then after that, there I lost everything. And crack was the cheapest high I could get. And Jack and the crack, being a crack addict, brought me to my knees, I would say it that way.
Would you say that in any way our government is enabling drug addiction?
Especially today, I would say that. You know, I would say if I was addicted to drugs today, I don't think I would ever got sober or straight because they're making it so much easier for people to do drugs today. I think what they're trying to do, and I'm not really involved political with a lot of things, you know. I'm starting to understand a little bit of it now, but I never did in the beginning, or did I care about it. But what I'm seeing now is they're enabling them in the sense that they're giving them places to get high that they think is safe. So they're putting a Band-Aid on the wound. That's all they're really doing. But they're not dealing with the reality of the addiction itself and trying to help get people on their feet. So you could stay a drug addict today, I think, a lot easier than back in the days that I was getting high.
No, in your particular case, what was it that helped you get off the drugs? Just the love of your daughter?
Well, I tried to do it because of the love of my daughter, but that didn't work for me neither. The only thing that got me off my drugs, and I'm telling you now, is being born again and crying out to Jesus, please help me, please help me, and him answering the sincerity of my cries. And from there on in, you know, some people say you're in recovery, but I truly believe that I was redeemed and set free from addiction, period. Delivered from it, if you want to put it that way.
So what we need is God, really, more than, you know, some new program or something.
Well, you know, you can't get clean and sober without the without the spirituality of it, if you try to do it that way. I know a lot of people who did AA and NA, and they don't get drink anymore. They don't do drugs. But I still see that their lives are still miserable. Jesus said he came to set us free, and I believe he has set us free from all these things. And the abundant life we live today that he promised us in John 10:10, it says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I can give you life and life more abundantly. And I think that's part of the process of being rebirthed and being born again, and Jesus gives you this life that it's a peaceful life. It's a life set apart from a lot of things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. You know, in Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. And I think the process of that is I delight myself in him. So he gives me his desires. So I think that's a part of way of living a more comfortable whole life. I just put it that way, where he's setting you whole, making you whole again, where the addiction no longer has an effect on your life. But even if you're clean, it really doesn't stop the problems that come in. Not that problems don't come into my life, but I handle them a lot more different than I would have even if I was clean and sober but not having Jesus in my life.
So describe your life today. What are you basically doing? Are you helping others see, you know, have faith in Jesus?
Well, that's the whole point of the ministry that I do. I believe that, you know, the theme that I use, it's never too late for a new beginning. You know, my new beginning in life started in that jail cell in Rikers Island, crying out to God, please help me, please help me. I believe he answered the sincerity of the cries of my heart, And that's an opportunity for everybody. He's already done that for everybody. All we have to do is believe and receive all that he has done for us already. But my life today is like the first 13 years I did nursing home ministry. You know, I went into nursing homes twice a week. And I would do either a Sunday service, and then during the week I would do like an event for them to keep them occupied, to give them something to look forward to during the week, because there's not a lot that's going on in nursing homes. So I did that for 13 years, and then after a while somebody approached me and said, the story you had, you know, I was in the witness protection program, and that's how I got relocated to Dallas, Texas. You know, I made amends with the government, and that's part of what I decided to do. And now I have a different name, a different life. But when I was brought into San Antonio, Texas, I started nursing home ministry. And from that on, I just had a more of a hunger and a more desire to know more about Jesus Christ. And I got torn out of the witness protection program because I married somebody from one of my danger zones, which was New York City, and they called it your danger zone. You shouldn't have anybody from your old life into your new life. And so I got thrown out, and my wife said, now you can share your story about what God has done in your life. And I've been doing that ever since. So I go into churches, into rehabs, into celebrate recoveries, and I just share the message of hope. So I believe that my story is a God story, how God we call it God can bless you, redeem, and restore your life back to him.
Well, I mean, they say that you only leave the mafia, you know, in a pine box. I mean, in other words, if you, you know, voluntarily organize or get into that organization, then, you know, you're sworn to secrecy and so forth, but now you're basically not keeping all these secrets. So is your life in danger in any way?
Well, then, you know, there's always a possibility. You know, you got to remember, my stuff is over 30 years ago with the mob, so I think they got a lot more to worry about than a guy that has something to say about something that happened 30 years ago. But, you know, there's always the danger of some young guy wanting to make a reputation for himself. But, you know, I believe fear comes from the devil, and I believe that fear can paralyze you from doing the things God's called you to do. So, you know, I trusted the government to keep me protected for a period of time, and they've done that there. So, and now I believe I'm in God's protection program. So I look at life this way that clears my conscience. What do I have to lose? If I get killed, I go to be with the Lord. And if they leave me alone, I can do what God's called me to do. And that's just how I look at my life today.
Oh, excellent. Okay, we have about 1 minute left. If somebody turned to you and say, how would you solve America's drug problem, what would you do? Just go ahead and give us about an hour, you know, 1 minute's worth of answer on that, please.
Well, I mean, that would be a hard thing to answer, but what I would say is stop enabling them. Stop giving them, putting crack pipes so this way they could get free crack pipes, get free drugs. Stop enabling them, giving them money to go out and get high. Stop enabling them, but allowing them to go into stores and rob stores and walk out with stuff. Because what do you think they're going to do with it? Drug addicts are going to take that and give it to the drug dealer for their drugs. So there's a lot of ways that we could help them. But my answer would be the one-step program that I took. And that's one step, getting to know Jesus Christ, accept him as my Lord and Savior. And listen, for 27 years, over 27 years, I've been set free from all my addictions.
Your website is robertborelli.com. Borelli is spelled B-O-R-E-L-L-I. The book that about your life is called The Witness, A Tale of the Life and Death of a Mafia Madman. Thank you, Robert, for being with us. All the best. God bless you.
Oh, well, thank you for allowing me to be on your show. Bless you too, brother. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you now. Bye-bye.